Welcome to the To Faithful Men podcast. This project started in 2006 to preserve old sermon and study tapes of Wiley Flanagan, Hassel Wallace, and Mike Strevel. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also."
Then when we come to Matthew 24 and Jesus now, what is Jesus doing? Is Jesus looking back? Because in Matthew 24:14, you know, he says, 15, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then flee. All right? Was Daniel now talking about the Romans coming into Jerusalem? And maybe this certainly includes that. Because now Jesus referred to it. All right? Did all the things that Jesus prophesied would take place, did that occur at the destruction of Jerusalem? See, now that's, in other words, did the Romans fulfill the prophecies? In other words, the extent of the abomination. Well, that's what you have to keep in mind when you're studying Matthew and prophecy in general. Alright, verse 12 says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335, 5 and 30 days." Alright, now here's 1,335 days. That's 45 days more than a month, isn't it? "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." All right? Now, as far as Antiochus is concerned, these days, counting these 3.5 years, that describes quite a bit of his history, because he didn't reign long. But whether that refers to Antiochus, or whether that's to be a time still in the future, I don't know. I don't know of anybody. I don't know how you would determine. "But go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Now notice in verse 13, he says, "Go thy way till the end be." Well now, Daniel wasn't going to live till the end of his, till the prophecy of the night, till the ninth chapter is fulfilled, 483 years. He was already in the neighborhood of 90 years of age, regardless of how you figure, estimate his time when he went into Babylon. So, the end that's involved here is going to require Daniel to die and to rise from the dead. Why? The lot says, "Stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Now this lot business, "stand in thy lot," stand in thy inheritance, the lot of thine inheritance. You know, when Joshua, in the 14th chapter of Joshua, the first few verses, and then in the 15th chapter also, Joshua allotted the land, you know, by lot. Certain cities, certain boundaries. That's the way Palestine was divided among the 12 tribes, you know. Well, then it specifically talks about Caleb. You know, Caleb was one of the boys that said, we can get them grapes, and we can get them boys out of there. He says, "I love them grapes." He and Joshua and Caleb came back with that big grape on that pole hanging there. Well, because And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that was over 21 years of age when they left Egypt that went into the promised land. See, when they did cross the River Jordan. And Caleb, because that he had wholly followed the Lord, was given the city of Hebron. In Palestine. And so that was his lot. That was the lot of his inheritance. Now, here's a promise that Daniel was going to go his way. In other words, Daniel, you're going to visit, you're going to sleep with your fathers. See? He was, and in the end, he would stand. Same wording almost as Job in the 19th chapter when he says, you know, though the skin worm will destroy this body, yet in my flesh, you see, he was going to stand in the latter day that he would see God face to face. All right. Now then, let's go back to chapter 12, the first verse now. And at that time, now, chapter 12 is not to be separated from chapter 11. In other words, in chapter 11 is not to be separated from chapter 10. 10, 11, and 12 is one, has to do with one vision. Daniel sees this person, and in chapter 10 he's described. And the same description in chapter 10 of Daniel you find in Revelation chapter 1. And you put the description of Christ in chapter 1 of Revelation and chapter 5 of Revelation. And then chapter 19. And you have what is known as the complete picture of Christ, that is, as a theophany. Before he ever was incarnate, before in the flesh, yet he appeared. You see, he appeared in the days of Abraham. And Abraham, of course, killed some goats, sheep, feed him. But now, and the angels, I don't know. I don't understand all that. I believe that happened. There's a lot about this. I don't understand how it's going to happen. But when you ask me the question, do I believe the Bible because I can solve the problems that it presents to my faith? That's not why I believe the book. That's not why I believe a thing. I don't interpret a passage of scripture because it sounds, that it sounds more reasonable and it don't require as much dependence on God, see? For the answer, for the fulfillment of it. Does the Bible say it? All right, now, we're not to make the Bible say more than it says, and I don't want to end this prophecy. A lot of times we have made a statement before we really come to the revelation of it because of later it explained it. But now, let's observe rules like that and read these first two verses again. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. Now then, what time is this? It's a time of trouble. It's a time of trouble upon the Jewish people. It says, thy people. But notice, and it's a time of trouble that they had never experienced before, and they'd been down in Egypt. Now, while they were in Babylon here, it doesn't seem that they had, we don't read about persecuting the Jews in Babylon. Well, man, they liked it so well they didn't even want to go back, see? They stayed down there and they like not have got enough Jews to build the temple. They needed more workers. But they finally went back, a goodly number. But now notice, the time of the destruction of Jerusalem was so great, and it was a time, it was a period of suffering like no other. It was different in nature, not in intensity. Well, now there was more people killed. Well, an angel one night slew 185,000 Assyrians. Well, now, of course, Titus, when he captured Jerusalem, it was during the Passover season. And, of course, there was a great crowd. It's almost, it was just like it is now, you know, when they have these pilgrimages over there. And they go to Mecca, and these Mohammedans and all that. It's just almost millions. It may have been 3 million people. I think Josephus estimated possibly 3 million people being in Jerusalem at the time. Now, I don't know how many of them escaped. Many of them went to Pella, you know, north of there. But look at the number according to Josephus, how they was killed. You know, he relates that story of the woman that the guards came in and they smelled meat. And they knew that they weren't supposed to be any meat in the house. Even the soldiers didn't have enough food to eat. And so they smelled the meat. And the soldiers told this woman, and made her, he said, what's that you've got to eat? And she came over and said, all right, I'll show you. And she looked there and she uncovered a half of a little baby. She says, now I've already eaten half. This is my baby. I've eaten half of it. And the history says those soldiers turned and walked out and says they tremble. All right. Now, it undoubtedly was a great period. Now then, but notice what Daniel says about it. And this is what gives me the clue that says that I must see something more than the destruction of Jerusalem in the answer of Jesus to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. Now, if you just had Mark's account and Luke's account of the destruction of Jerusalem, you could confine it. You could interpret it as all being fulfilled when Jerusalem is destroyed. Right, now, notice that the last part of Daniel 12:1 says, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, if this prophecy was fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., how are you going to explain all of the Jews that were slain, put to death? This prophecy says at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now you're going to have to say that every person that was slain in Jerusalem was, his name was not in this book at least. Now if this book represents the book of life, spiritual life, then you're going to say that every child of God got out of Jerusalem. And a great number did. The ones, and the Lord told them, you know, when they saw these things to flee. You're up on the housetop. Of course, their houses were flat, you know. And don't you go down even into the house and get anything out. You go down the stairway and flee. And no doubt, the ones that believed it, this message, I think they got out of there. But now, the statement here says that everyone was delivered. And that day thy people, see, that's written in the book. Now, this book, Moses in Exodus 32, verse 32, tells about the book. You know, he prayed. That was where he was praying, Lord, blot me out, you know, out of thy book. See? Right, now, the Jews had a registry, a book, and when a man died, of course, his name was scratched off of the roll of the living. In other words, he couldn't vote. They saw to it they didn't vote dead men. See? But nowadays, they didn't, it might be, some folks may have voted them. But that was the purpose of it. There was a book of the living in the city that kept up with them. That was a number. And the book of Numbers is a numbering of the people, you see. Well, but in the New Testament, we have this figure, this imagery, and we have it called, instead of the book, and the book of the living, we have the expression, everlasting, see, or the book of life. Not just the book of living. Now, for instance, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, you have where the image to this beast was set up, and this beast was demanding worship. And all whose names were not written in the book of life fell down and worshiped it. See? All right, that shows that God's people didn't fall down and worship him, showing that they're written in the book of life, that they're in the book of the living. And he tells us that that names was written there before the foundation of the world. All right, now here you're taking on this book of the Old Testament, and the book of their cities, of their registry, takes on added significance in that the Bible reveals that our names, the elect of God, that's like Paul in Ephesians 1, you know, in verse 3, and 2 Timothy 1:9, well, it talks about this writing before the foundation of the world. Our names are not written in that book when a man believes in the Lord, when he receives when he sees Christ or accepts Christ as his Savior, as you'll hear when people preach it. See, you hear missionary faith of all sorts that believe that well, when you're saved, that's when God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, now the Bible doesn't teach that doctrine, but it does teach as far as a book is concerned. I'm not contending that there's even such a thing as a book in heaven. That's not what it means. But it means that God knows them, they're his. Just as much if they're in God's sight, they're there, they're known, they're registered, as much as if they was in Moses' book down there in numbering the inhabitants of Hebron or Gezer or Jerusalem or Jericho or whatnot. They knew how many people was there, see. Well, God knows them that are his, and he don't have to have a book to keep up with them, to write them down to see. But yet, you're going through the book of Revelation, you have it in several places. 17th chapter, the 20th chapter, 21st chapter, and the 22nd chapter. You have reference to the book of life. And that God will not blot your name out of the book. And then again, if you do so and so, he would blot the name out of the book of life. Now, it takes a little stand with the scripture, truth, to understand it. Now, the same book, the expression book of life, or the book, is not the same book. In other words, You see, the Arminian takes those expressions to teach apostasy, what is known as falling from grace, or that a child of God can, if he wants to. The devil can't take it away from him, and the Lord's not going to take it away from him. But if he wants to, he can commit suicide. See? And give and throw away his life. Forfeit his eternal life. But the only point, the reason why I'm bringing that up here is simply to show that the prophecy here now, at the time of that, of this tribulation, if you're to confine it to Jerusalem, you're going to have to say every child of God was delivered. There wasn't the one that was died in that siege, in that capture.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share with a friend. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.